Okay, I'm going to be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Then I'm going to be sharing a few of my notes and insights on those verses. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Or of man's judgment, ye, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not have received? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich, you have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. Just have a few thoughts on these verses, and I'll pull up my notes. Verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God's. Man's perception of us is to be as ministers and stewards, not high and lifted up positions. We are all servants of God. If that does not kill your pride, I do not know what will. Consider churchianity lifts up the roles of the servants of God, but here Apostle Paul shows how we are to truly be seen. And that word minister, Huperetes, a derivative, an under oarsman, that is subordinate, minister, officer, servant. So we're just servants and ministers of the Lord. Attendants, many words to basically show we're just attendants of him. And the other word, stewards of the mystery, that word is oikonomos, a house distributor or overseer, that is an employee in the capacity, by extension, a fiscal agent, is it figuratively a preacher. So basically, we're supposed to just hand out what the Lord gives us, and we're supposed to be faithful over it. Verse I thought of, 1 Peter 1:12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto ourselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. We are to be giving out the gospels and the oracles of God. We need to temper this, and we need to be good stewards. And of course, we need to be doing this all through the Spirit, or our works will be burnt up. And Matthew 7:6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So while we're supposed to be ministers and stewards, we have to know who to appropriately give their portion. We could be found to waste the word of God on those who do not want it. Also, God wants a cheerful giver and wants all invited and entreated. Matthew 10:8, an example of what he told the disciples to do with the gifts. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. I'm not talking about charismatic gifts. I'm just giving an example of how Christ wants us to distribute what he gave to us. And being cheerful in doing it. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. So it's not just what we do and how we distribute it, but it's the heart and attitude with which we do it as well. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If you have faith, you should be faithful. You want God to be faithful to you, you should be faithful to him. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This reminded me of the unjust steward parable. I'm just going to read a little excerpt from Luke 16. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. I'll let you read the rest of those scriptures, but I'm jumping down to verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is also unjust also in much. So you have to be faithful in the small things as well as the big things, because the small things add up quickly to the big things. Two other verses, James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So do this faithfully. Don't do it double-minded. We're supposed to emulate our master. So 2 Timothy 2:12-13. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. The truth can't be denied. We must be faithful in all things. Verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Ye, I judge not mine own self. Did you say something? But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Ye, I judge not mine own self. One scripture I found for that is, we need to make sure that our witness is great, so judging ourselves should be of paramount importance. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Judgment is all over God's scripture. The world judges us. We must judge ourselves, and the Lord will judge us on the last day. But through Christ, there is the ability to escape judgment. Verse 4. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. So keeping your conscience clear and not cluttered is great. 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I'm served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. 1 John 3:20-21. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. The Holy Spirit's job is to help with our conviction, so make sure you do not quench the Spirit. John 16:8-9. And when he has come, he's talking about the Holy Spirit in this verse. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. So while you may see nothing, the Spirit may convict you about something you are doing, because you must do things out of a pure conscience, because the just must live by faith. Verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Remember, everyone, God is the final judge, and it doesn't matter what you think, I think, or any false priest or pastor or shepherd thinks. It's what the true shepherd thinks. And don't think there's any darkness or anything you can hide from him. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This is saying to not judge the heart. We judge fruit and put out sin, but certain things only the Lord can judge. Even in our brethren, we can't see their heart, but the Lord sees their heart. And the mouth speaks out of the abundance of the heart. So in a biblical body, these things bubble to the surface eventually. Matthew 7, 18 through 20. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. People may have idols in their hearts, the scary thought. And Jude verses 12 through 13. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit wither, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Couple notes on there. Exaltation of men, even godly men, is a snare and a precursor of idolatry, envy, strife. Only the wisdom of God is pure. Paul is using an illustration to show how to not ascribe attributes above what is real. They may have water sowed or laid a foundation, but using God's tools and his methods. So, are we exalting the people who are using the Spirit above what the Spirit is working through them? That would be something to check yourself of. One other verse for that, John 7:18. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. All these things are about lifting oneself up against another. This is prideful, and this is strife. You're idolizing either the other person or even yourself, depending on who you're lifting up. Verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hast not received it? Do not be lifted up against one another. Job 41:11, who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. Were the Lord's, were blood-bought saints, so we have nothing to lift ourselves up about. The only thing we really have is we can be a proud doer of the work he gave us, but only through all the tools that he gave us to use. Psalm 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Basically, God even made us, and then he redeemed us. And if we endure, we will save our souls, but he's the creator of all things. We don't deserve any glory to the extent that he does. All things are from God. We are a part of the vine. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Even men and godly men, who are we supposed to exemplify and put our mark on? We only follow them if they are within Scripture and if that model is according to Christ's model. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Paul knew that he still was not perfect. While he may have been mature, Christ is our ultimate model. And verse 8, now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. Basically, he's trying to show the Corinthians that you already have everything through Christ. You're still trying to seek things, but it's already been given to you. Just endure in what you have and sanctify yourself, and your reward will be great. 1 Timothy 6:6, the godliness with contentment is great gain. Those were my thoughts for verses 1 through 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me know if I had any errors. I'm open to listening.
Awesome job, brother. Well done, well done. I just have one quick thought. I liked in the beginning when you talked about stewards of the mysteries of God, and then verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I like that simple saying you said, if a man has faith, he should be faithful. I just like that. That's just so simple, but it's so true that if we have faith and it's in Christ. I'm sorry?
I may have gotten that from one of my brothers. I don't remember.
I like that. And if a man is to be found faithful, or if he has faith in Christ, he should be found faithful. And it's a reminder, we talked about this, I think somebody did a teaching not too long ago, on being a good steward. And that's really wise and important that we do that according to Scripture. And then verse 1 says, ministers of Christ. I like that. Servants. They always like take that word in man-made religion, that minister, and they lift that way up. He's a minister, and he gets a special parking spot and a house and a parsonage and a retirement plan and honor and lifted up and a robe called reverend sometimes, doctor. But we're all supposed to be just servants of Christ. I like that a lot. That was just my simple thoughts. Well done, brother. Brothers, you have anything that jumped out at you?
Yeah, I had a couple of thoughts on what you were saying just now. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 2, where Paul says, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. I forget if you read that one, Brother Pergos. Forgive me if I did. If you did, that one came to mind. And then on the other, I liked verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. How many times we meet people who are like, don't judge, don't judge. And they don't like being judged. But the true saints of God actually like being judged. And it's a small matter because you'd rather be judged here and now than when it's too late.
Yeah. Expound on the last part of verse 4.
But he that judgeth me is the Lord.
I'm sorry. The last part of verse 3.
Oh, yeah. I judge not mine own self. Well, we all know that Paul judges and we examine ourselves. And if you judge yourself really hard, others won't judge. But it's basically that he's saying, the way I would understand this, test me here. Being judged by men or of his own intellect or of his own reasoning. He doesn't judge himself like that. He's judged of the Lord. I think it leads into verse 4 that he's judged of the Lord. His standard is God's word. His standard is the Lord. He doesn't judge himself based on what he thinks and feels. He judges himself based off of God's word to make sure that he's faithful. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. I think a lot of people confuse that when they read the end of that. I judge not my own self. I've had people say, see, Paul didn't even judge or test himself. I've had false churchianity people say that, and they twist that out of context.
Yeah.
Paul clearly tells us to judge ourselves and others that claim Christ, doesn't he?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 13, like, examine yourselves, yeah. Prove your own selves, whether you be in the faith.
I think the problem there is might be the King James English a little bit. I judge not my own self. I think that confuses people.
Yeah, you kind of have to read it in context to grasp the meaning of it.
Yeah, exactly. Amen. Anything else, Brother Zealous, on that?
Those were the things that jumped out at me.
Brother Kuo, any thoughts? Not that you have to. We all agreed that we didn't have to sit here and rack our brains while we're listening to a brother teach on a verse by verse or something, but if something is low-hanging fruit or jumps out at you or the Holy Spirit gives you something, definitely share.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good study. And the thing that jumped out at me, you kind of covered it in verse 2, the word there. If you look at that word, it means trustful, trustworthy. I like how it says that.
Which word, brother? Wait, which word?
Faithful in verse 2.
Faithful, okay, yeah.
Yep. So trustworthy, and the thing that came to mind for me was well done, good and faithful servant.
Ah.
The Lord has, here, let's see, Matthew 25:23, and this is the parable of the talents. His Lord said unto him, and this is the two-talent person, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And it draws like a comparison to our Christian walk. He's giving us few things to be faithful with. His word, he asks us to follow it, obey it, be faithful with it. And he'll make us ruler over many things. As Brother Zealous is going through the promises of Scripture, there's so many in there. He's going to make us just overflowing with all of his promises if we endure in these few things. So that's what stuck out to me.
Amen. Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah, good study, Brother Purgos. Well done. Look forward to the rest of it. And this will be in the Ecclesia gathering area for people to be blessed. And we'll add the other ones as you go. Good job. Well done. God be praised.